We'll begin the second half of World Watchers. This is broadcast 589, March 21st, 1983. If you tape the broadcast, you're now on the second half of your tape. I am going into some more into Gulf and Western because it is a microcosm of how huge organizations become multinational corporations out of just picking up funds. And I don't believe that Mr. Charles Blue Dorn is such a genius, or Mr. Kirk Kerkorian is such a genius, or Marvin Davis. These multi-millionaire connections to Mr. Henry Kissinger and Gerald Ford and the German banks into Vienna. And here was the release of hundreds of millions of dollars to put people into business after the war. And if they were selected to do this, they couldn't do a better job. And if it's a coincidence, they couldn't do a better job. And they all link together, the same lawyers, the same names, the same boards, and they seem to be at the same time and places. And that's what's making the work so interesting. Well, in 1969 to 1972, Mr. Blue Dorn was under investigation, Gulf and Western and Madison Square Garden, because of his buying into the Vatican, all these shares, where it came from, the companies that he was using, the overstating of their income in 1970, they're not keeping track of the $14 million in 1970, in 1971, personally purchasing shares of your own company, which he did from Gulf and Western, which is what Roberta Calvi was supposed to have done in Italy, was buy back shares of the Banco Ambrosiano in his own name. Now, in 1974, Gulf and Western overstated its income again by $12 million. This is a few years later. Then they failed to report their losses from Resorts International. They were tied into Resorts International, which is Mr. Rogers, William Rogers of the State Department, who worked with Meyer Lansky. If you don't have studies on Resorts International, you can read the story of the Mafia in the Bahamas and Richard Nixon and Bebe Rebozo and Tom Dewey from New York and his vice president who ran with him, Earl Warren, who was later on the Warren Commission. Gulf and Western had money invested in Resorts International and also the Franklin Holding Bank, which went bankrupt. That was Michael Sindona's bank in New York City that went bankrupt to $45 million. And Gulf and Western had put money into that and failed to report the losses to the stockholders. 1 year later, in 1975, Mr. Blue Dorn made a secret deal with the Dominican Republic, and he didn't deliver. He owed them $38.7 million of profits from sugar, but he didn't tell the board of Gulf and Western about this profit. He wrote down there was a profit of $64.5 million, and he recorded $24.8 million. So there was just a little point of $38.7 million that belonged to the Dominican Republic or the corporation that they were not told about, and he was brought in to account for that. You notice he never went to jail and kept a high reputation as one of the greatest businessmen in this country, and these are not little figures that he's playing around with. In 1976, 1 year later, and maybe this is what he did with the extra $38 million, Howard Hughes, the body had been cashed in. I said, that's the only term I can use. In April of 76, Howard Hughes was supposed to have died, and I believe to this day it was Vance Cooper. It wasn't Howard Hughes, but that double who was doped and injected and so forth died. That was in April 76. By December 76, 6 months later, the Paramount Pictures, Mr. Blue Dorn, was to acquire the assets of Howard Hughes' TV network, the division of the Summa Corporation. Now, there was speculation that the company was part of Satra Corporation, S-A-T-R-A, and they had a contract for the 1980 Olympics in Moscow to film the Olympics in Moscow. So in the 69 through the 75 area, he was heavily involved with the Vatican. Then he picks there's this discrepancy of $38 million from the Dominican, and all of a sudden he's picking up the Summa Corporation television station for the Olympic Games that Jimmy Carter canceled, but the 20th Century Fox with Henry Kissinger and Madame Chanel and Gerald Ford has the right to photograph the L.A. Olympics that are coming up soon, 1984. In 1978, the Security Exchange investigation went into a $2 billion antitrust suit that was filed against Dominican Republic, Gulf, and Western, that they were working with the government, and Mr. Bluedorn worked with the Dominican government. Antonio Guzman was the president of the Dominican Republic. He's the fellow that just died by a gunshot a few months ago, and Mr. Bluedorn died just in February, and the vice president of the Dominican Republic died about 2 weeks after Mr. Bluedorn died. The president, the vice president, and Mr. Bluedorn from Dominican Republic. Now, he had a monopoly on beachfronts, on resorts, places, and he was charged by the Security Exchange for a $2 billion antitrust suit blocking tourist complexes from 1971 to 78 to have the exclusive rights of the Dominican Republic. And you notice that nothing happened there. This was control of the waterfront in the Dominican. As I mentioned a few weeks before, the Dominican Republic was overthrown. Mr. Rafael Trujillo had taken his money into European banks, into Spain, into Liechtenstein, into European areas identical to the Vatican money that was stored away by Martin Bormann and Otto Scorzetti. And when Mr. Trujillo died, he was murdered by the CIA. That money also was released. Richard Nixon, as attorney for one of the daughters of the president of the Dominican Republic, just got $1 million for that fee. But when Vida Perón died and when Mr. Trio died, all this money was over in Europe, ready for these greasy, sleazy people to get their hands on all this money and begin to use it. Well, after the Rafael Trujillo was kicked out of the Dominican Republic, in comes Mr. Bluedorn with the sugar monopoly and the CIA, and they're home free, and they have one other place in the Caribbean with beach and real estate property. But you never heard anything about him going to jail, that $2 billion antitrust suit in 1978. In 1979, Paramount and Gulf and Western bought 50% of a music company. Now, this part gets really interesting. Called the EMI. If you don't know what that is, it's Capitol Records. That was the Beatles' music. Okay, remember how anti-Beatles the federal government was, and here's Mr. Bluedorn with his nefarious background, buying from a man in India. His name is Bash Kar, B-A-S-H-K-A-R, Menon, M-E-N-O-N. He was from India. I looked his name up in Who's Who of America to see if he was listed there. He was in this music corporation and held on to it. This article is from July 7th, 1979, Robert Hershey of New York Times, Paramount EMI deal, and this is how they bought Gulf and Western Industries, bought over Bashkar Menon, the head of EMI Music, and controlled then the Beatles music, the hunk of the music that the Beatles had done. They had a big control of that music. And they also went on, Paramount was producing Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy, Taxi, Angie. No wonder I didn't like those. I've never seen one of those programs. I have flicked it off or flicked the station, and I can see why now. I mean, the soundtrack of Paramount Films was making these, and they also produced Saturday Night Fever and Grease, the movie, and Star Trek. But they bought the Beatle music, and then they went on and controlled Olivia Newton-John, okay, Glenn Campbell, who's become a great Jesus freak, Paul McCartney's Wings, Natalie Cole, who's been doped out of her head, who can't do anything, her mother's a conservator now, Cliff Richard, you don't hear much about, The Shadows, and Kate Bush. EMI was the Capitol Records and had the control of the British company that had the Beatle music. So then it was in the hands of Mr. Bluedorn and Gulf and Western, and they made a deal in Paramount, you know, after Michael Sindona's involved with this, and you have Edward Bennett Williams as an attorney, and Mr. Simon Rifkin, the attorney that set up Otto von Bolschwing's Nazi network. They come on in and take over the rock music scene very nicely. In Who's Who, 1975, Mr. Bashkar Menon, it's a phonograph record company executive born in India. He's born May 29th, my birthday, John Hinckley, John Kennedy, and Mae Brussel. He lived in India. It mentions his family, his children, and he worked for Capitol Records Industries in 1971, office Vine Street in Hollywood, California. So the Beatle music then becomes property of this whole entourage, which can explain some of the things that happen to the music scene when you see how this huge multinational corporation comes in then, and they could take like five junkie people in the Beatles and really have a good control on where the Beatles are in a control of their music, okay? So the Gulf and Western moves in on EMI Capitol Records. In 1980, that was 79, 1980, Gulf and Western bought General Tire and Rubber Company. That's the fifth largest tire company in the United States. Mr. Blue Dorn has really gone bananas. He's had a wild career. He has merged, remember I mentioned a few weeks ago, with Music Corporation of America, that a three-way merge with that and MGM. MGM is Mr. Kirk Kerkorian. Music Corporation of America is a company that brought Ronald Reagan to Hollywood from Illinois. They have a three-way thing going there. The Gulf and Western buys Paramount Studio. The Vatican buys 50% of Paramount. They make a triple deal with Kirk Kerkorian of MGM and Music Corporation of America. Then he hasn't had enough. Okay, they have the Simon & Schuster that published the All the President's Men, the story of Watergate, and then they did a nice, The Final Days, Woodward and Bernstein, a complete cover-up of what Watergate was, as if to say, well, it's final, it's over now. So they published and owned Simon & Schuster that put that book out that hid a lot of the Watergate, and that's why we still have the effects of it today. Then they get a little large, and they get the fifth largest tire company in the United States. So they get into plastics, chemicals, electronics, soft drinks and bottling, cable television, engineering, radio, TV stations, natural resources, motion picture productions. Mr. Charles Blue Dorn also is in manufacturing coffins. One of the men that was behind the formation of that TCI with Otto von Bolschwing in California that helped form the Nazi network under that organization that later branched out to our largest defense agencies such as Philco, Ford, ITT, Stanford, Hewlett-Packard, Stanford Research. One of those men was a coffin manufacturer in California, and I laughed at the time, but Mr. Blue Dorn also is into coffins. He's not satisfied. Next year, 1981, he joins Paramount to Time Incorporated, and they join the USA Network, the RCA Satellite, the Satcom One, so that Madison Square Garden will be filmed, Black Entertainment, the House of Representatives, and Home Box Office. It's funny, I started subscribing to Home Box Office this year about 3 or 4 months ago. I couldn't wait till there was cable up on our hill in the valley. And I see about a half a movie every month. I look at the schedule and think, oh my God, what do I have this for? And maybe I turn on when I'm peeling potatoes or something. It's so bad. And now that I see who's behind Home Box Office, there's no wonder it's bad. The best thing is just get your music or listen to KAZU or your FM stations where you are. Support those stations, support these places, and get away from this corporate structure. Can't you see the karma of these people taking over everything? The black shows, the Beatles, the music, the rock music, the TV, your home entertainment. Do like I do. You can do all kinds of things, photography, sewing, reading, do anything. But turn it off. It's a disease and it's spreading and it'll make you into a zombie. So in those years in the chronology, since the last time I gave you a little rundown on Mr. Blue Dorn, you have him involved with coexistent funds with the Vatican. You have him with a contract to have filmed the Olympic Games, that kind of power, of buying the Hughes Corporation antenna, the Summa Corporation TV networks, going with Time Magazine into the satellite communications, controlling the music, the Dominican Republic, and goodness knows how many other places, and into all kinds of industries, like I said, the natural resources, the motion pictures, and everything, you name it. Now, there were some things about Mr. Blue Dorn that were not dated. I was just giving you the dates of these various events, but certain items about his life that were in these news articles, mostly serious from the New York Times. Mr. Blue Dorn and other executives of Gulf and Western received undisclosed management benefits, the use of company assets for personal finance services and bank loans. They It was like an open end, goodness knows, 50th of the top 500 of the corporations, and there was an open end for using that money, and you could pay spies, you could pay assassins, you could pay anybody. I mean, these are funds that have no accounting. It's a large private firm, and there's evidently no accounting. When they catch them with a discrepancy of $37 million, so what? Or $7 million, so what? Or $14 million, so what? Or $11 million, so what? You never read a thing about there were some investigations, but who was in the Security Exchange Commission? William Casey of the CIA in charge of counterintelligence, who worked in the OSS with Mr. Burke and that gang. He's not going to investigate his buddies, and I'm sure it was a dummy front. And my instincts about Bludorn coming here in 1942 from Vienna are not far off if you just chronicle his whole life and what he was doing through the entire period when he built up his empire. He had undisclosed money and benefits for the company, personal finance service, and bank loans. Secondly, he overstated his profits. This is an article from the New York Times. He had improper bookkeeping, inadequate and inflated appraisals, inaccurate minutes of the investment committee meetings, the improper use of assets of Gulf and Western pension funds and Gulf and Western Foundation. You wonder who the stockholders were who bought into this company, but as long as it showed a profit, I guess they were okay, but the Security Exchange says they'd lie about the profit. Right now, they're divesting themselves of $750 million, which they probably don't have. And now, with the death of Mr. Bludorn, they're in trouble, and they're trying to figure out what to do and break apart some of these holdings. And that was in the Wall Street Journal article this week. They overstated their money. The attorney, one of the attorneys for Mr. Bludorn, is Edward Bennett Williams. He was the attorney for the John Hinckley family, for Mr. Mullen of Mullen Associates at the time of Watergate, for Richard Helms with the perjury charges and the lies that he had at the time of Watergate, and for John Connolly with the Milk Fund, and for Bobby Vesco and the International Crime Syndicate and Lucky Luciana and you name it. He's had the who's who of the assassins, the mobsters, the CIA, the entire ball of wax of the combined crooks from gangland and government. Edward Bennett Williams is called in. He's Mr. USA in that respect. Now, Gulf and Western, according to the New York Times, cut $19 million out that it didn't pay the Dominican government. And I mentioned this once before, the deal where they left some money out. One account was it was $38 million. Another account it was $19 million. And then they used it to finance a Dominican Republic tourist information agency in New York, a baseball stadium, and an artist village in the Dominican Republic. So you have tentacles of Mr. Bludorn, who came here in 1942 with Resorts International, the world network of crooks and organized crime and politics. You have with Michael Sindona and Paul Marcinkus, the criminal who hides at the Vatican, who can't get out because of his links to organized crime. Paul Marcinkus came from Cicero, Illinois. When the companies merged, when Gulf and Western merged with MGM Kerkorian and with Music Corporation of America, the attorney for the merger in this case wasn't Mr. Rifkin. It was Sidney Korshek, K-O-R-S-H-E-K, Sidney Korshek. I've mentioned his name before. He was a close friend of Mo Dalitz, M-O-E-D-A-L-I-T-Z. Mo Dalitz has been named in the Torbett document, being part of Permandex, being part of the team that killed John Kennedy. He worked in Las Vegas and went down to La Costa, opened the resort down there. Mo Dalitz and Sidney Korshek were long friends from the crime syndicate. Sidney Korshek began his career representing the Al Capone gang in Cicero, Illinois. Then he came to Hollywood, and he's a high-priced lawyer for the crime syndicate and for the movie people. And he represented this merger with his links to these assassination teams. That's why putting Mr. Burke in at Madison Square Garden, when he worked with the OSS, with the CIA, with overthrowing Albania, with arming the government's insurgents against the Soviet Union, the Cold War, working at Warner Brothers when Errol Flynn and Ronald Reagan were there, There's an overlapping, I think you hear me saying, between Ronald Reagan with Music Corporation of America and with Cicero, Illinois, and Korshak and the gang in the Vatican, as well as at Gulf and Western. These companies merged, and Otto von Bolschwing, who's so important to the story, his dummy front when he came to this country was set up by Mr. Rifkin, Simon Rifkin, and that law office that works with Gulf and Western. And of course, Simon Rifkin also works with Chris Kraft, the attorney with Chris Kraft, and they are involved with Marvin Davis and 20th Century Fox. It seems that the Hollywood studios, particularly 20th Century Fox and Paramount today, and Columbia and MGM, have an overlapping interest in at a corporate level in agents from the crime syndicate, from the CIA, from counterintelligence. I often said that any one of these scandals would bring Reagan out because he comes right from Hollywood, from the scene of all of this, and he represents them in Washington. He represents the crime syndicate with Paul Laxalt, the main fundraiser, the former governor of Nevada, raising money for Ronald Reagan's campaign. There's a big fight now in the White House between Mr. Baker and Paul Laxalt, who will have control of Ronald Reagan. Baker represents the Eastern Seaboard and the Texas group, the Houston, Texas, George Bush. He ran George Bush's campaign. He worked for George Bush, and he runs the office for Ronald Reagan. And that versus Paul Laxalt and the Vegas gang and the Hollywood gang. Bush is from New England, from Yale, and from Houston. And Laxalt is the Vegas, Chicago, Hollywood mob gang. Between each other, they're fighting at the highest levels. But Gulf and Western, as I say, represents Madison Square Garden, the sports activities, the satellite communications, the news, the movies, the Paramount Studio, the Beatles music, the rock music, the musicals, the TV sitcoms, the Howard Hughes satellites, Music Corporation of America, MGM. It has its tentacles in every facet of our culture. It has its tentacles into chemistry, into zinc, into tires, and also Mr. Blue Dorn of Gulf and Western makes the parts for General Motors and for Ford Motor Company, some important parts. And of course, that could go back to his early intelligence background, because General Motors and Ford Motor Company were heavy in arming Adolf Hitler and arming France and the various Nazi countries during the war and after the war. And this Mr. Blue Dorn went right to Michigan when he came to this country, and then, as I say, down to Houston and then to New Jersey. He hit all the major cities where the network of the Odessa is very strong. And having the attorney for him, the Rifkin office, also Mr. Wagner, Robert Wagner, is in that office, and it's his son who is recently appointed to Vatican position by the John Paul II, and the father was very active in Vatican circles. And Mr. Blue Dorn was a partner, and for all purposes is, investing with Michael Sindona in the Vatican investments. So that overlaying all this area is a common bound of Vatican investments, of communications, of the CIA, of the OSS, of Warner Brothers, of Warner Brothers and this Mr. Burke and Madison Square Garden. The country is pretty well covered by these people, and they are not only the same law offices, Edward Bennett Williams and Wagner and Rifkin, Weiss, Wagner and Rifkin, then the von Bolschwing Network, but they are common cities that I think you should remember when you study these cases of espionage coming from Vienna and Frankfurt to Detroit and Chicago, Houston, Texas, Hollywood, and New York. Those are the major cities, and the law offices, Edward Bennett Williams, and this Simon Rifkin, and as I do more in the months to come, again on Otto von Bolschwing and his network, you'll see again where these people fit right into that Odessa network. I can't do more on that because there's going to be a story on it coming out this summer, and I've promised not to tell you about it. I hate to do that, but it's a dynamite story, and I think for all time, when that story gets published, America will really know a lot more about the fabric of this country than they've been told. You hear it bits and pieces each week, and I hope you listen each week as we do these broadcasts. But it's important to know that there are other people coming out with books and articles, and you're going to see a lot more. I have much more material on Charles Bluedorn that I may do but from time to time, and next week I'll continue with some other names similar to his. This country is filled with people brought here from 1937, 39, 1940, 42, while the war was going, before the bloodiest battles were over, who were set in positions to control major corporations. And while Mr. Bluedorn was being investigated in New York City for his security exchange trickery from 1969 through the 70s, he donated this large hunk of land in New York City near the Lincoln Center for a cultural center. So it's hard to prosecute a man who's giving you millions of dollars to build a cultural center. So New York City takes the money instead of the prosecution. I'm sure we would have a cultural center without his money. And it's a very tricky thing to be the recipient of this kind of money when you know that a man is under investigation. And of course, you know he went to his death very young on an airplane coming back from the Dominican Republic, never spent a day in jail for all of his shenanigans. Well, now our time is almost up. We have about 1 minute. And I do want to say this. I don't put it on the tape that goes out the broadcast very often. But to be able to get on the air and talk about these things with you and for you to receive these tapes and put them on other stations is really a rare privilege. And I think some of the other stations have collections of funds, and you should give to those stations that aren't in this city. But if you don't have one of those in your local area and you want to send a some money, any amount to KAZU would be appreciated, because the towers were badly damaged this winter. They went down, and at the fundraising time, we had 3 weeks of rain, and there was no way to ask for money when you're off the air. You can't get it, and so it's sort of a catch-22. You have to fix the tower, and there was no time for pledges. But we all have some that we can give to the station, and whatever you want to send them, we appreciate it, because it is a rare privilege to be able to share this kind of information. We talk about fascism, but we don't have it yet. So if you appreciate the freedom to be able to share this with other people, as well as to get it by subscription, send them, I'm not saying any amount, $5, $10, $50, anything you feel is appropriate, and just say thank you for allowing this kind of broadcasting to go. There aren't many cities in the country that allow this, and you have to show that you appreciate it from time to time, and I think we should. In the meantime, I have about 1 minute, so I'm going to stop right now and let you have time to write that check. This is Mae Russell at KAZU-FM. I'll be back with you next week with some more scandalous news about these crooks, but they are closing in, and it is an interesting time. This is Mae, and I'll be back with you next week.